This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
Studio purchasing this property, it was a tow yard and it was just covered in cars, and we know that cars are not the cleanest or the best things for our natural environment, just by way of the rubber on the tires, the dust, the oil, all of those things that we've now learned, and you know, by the time we're in 2025, they're not natural items for our planet. And so the reason that Lauren purchased this property, besides its proximity to the LA River, there was some developers kind of looking at this property and wanting to make it a multi-use property, you know, with industry and probably high rents and things like that because of its adjacency to the river. So Lauren wanted to, and just a side note on that, they wanted to call it like the Water Wheel District, because at the time, part of the project of bending the river had a water wheel element. As you'll learn later, the water wheel kind of went away for a better solution that's more sustainable and more replicable. But at the time, the developers wanted to name this the Water Wheel District. You know, that just doesn't fit the ethos of Metabolic Studio and the projects that we're creating. So we purchased this property with the goal of remediation and reparation. And how can we kind of give this property back to the land, right? What are the non-human organisms that are wanting to emerge? What are the things that don't have a human voice that want to express themselves right here on the banks of the Los Angeles River? Because we know prior to the concretization of the river, prior to these buildings being here and all the roads that we know today, this would have been the floodplain of the LA River, which just meant it was the most fertile lands. Every time it rained, everything that would fall down from the hillsides, Elysian Park is just right there. We know it's very hilly, and you'd get all the duff and the minerals and the good bacteria coming down and just kind of blanketing this entire area. So how can we return it to that? Lauren started with an energy cleansing of the site. Once all the cars were removed, they designed a labyrinth and placed it right out in the center, and brought a lot of folks, studio folks and other friends of the studio, to come and just walk the labyrinth and really kind of change the energy of the space. After that, she started doing different study circles. So there were 6 to 7 60-foot circles that were cut out over different periods of time, and each circle kind of had a different experiment that went along with it to see what would, you know, what would give the best results the fastest, or how, just, you know, not even best, like how are the results different, right? It's just a series of observations. And I know as we get inside on our walk, Diego will get a little bit more into depth in some of those. So then after that, we started seeing a lot of plants start flourishing, native seeds. Throughout the series of the Bending the River project, we were able to bring floodplain from the LA River channel that came from underneath the concrete and place that on the site as well. So those circles sort of became mounds and have all kind of moved together now. But once we brought that floodplain in, different plants and fungi started emerging. And what you see today is only been a 10-year process, which is just kind of hard to believe. You know, we have large trees here, we have lots of plants, birds, butterflies, all kinds of pollinators. And that's just because we started taking away asphalt, adding water, and letting the earth breathe again. Just like, you know, it wasn't a lot, which is what's really special about this place, is that we kind of let the earth, sort of this land, dictate what it wanted to be.
I can't emphasize that enough. Like, I, my first job was here at the Moon, like, stewarding a lot of the study circles and watching them grow. And I grew up here in Lincoln Heights. And to me, the Moon is the most powerful antithesis to all of that is wrong with the LA River currently, with in terms of like our human infrastructure. We all know about all the LA River master plans and all the ideas of like commodifying the river and building it up. And a lot of community here is very fearful of that because of its risk to gentrification. And a lot of conservationists are angry at the current future plans of the river because it's not unpaving the river and it's not letting nature come back. And so almost everyone in the city has a different idea of what the river needs to be. But the beauty of the Moon is that it is the only site along the river that has just been left to allow itself to determine what it wants to be. And it's this beautiful mosaic of so many different types of soils, the resident soils that are contaminated, the floodplain that we brought from the LA River, and now this beautiful landslide soil that is teeming with life from Topanga Canyon. So it's this beautiful co-creation that comes with all of the consummation of all these different soils. And so I'm really, really excited to show it to you today.
I was going to say for the education part and the soil, for me and the rest of my crew who work on the river daily, we pass by a lot of places that are sort of, it's dirt, but it's barren. There's nothing there. It's cut all the time. A lot of the time it's by factories and it's, you know, it's by abandoned places like this. And so we used to test water and we know what's in the water, but we never really tested soil before. And there are so many places on the river that are suitable for native species and that don't have that. And we don't know, but we don't know what's in the soil. We work next to dumps. We work next to, there's a place called Parque dos Rios, which is on the LA River and the Rio Hondo meet right next to the 710. It's a massive habitat that we don't know what the soil's like, right? We don't know how it can improve, and we don't know what natives we can put there or not. So I think soil testing education would be a great start to sort of figuring out what we can put in the ground.
Yeah, up in the Bay, I went to a soil testing workshop that was put on by one of the RCDs, which is like the Resource Conservation District, and they partnered with a college that has a soil science and horticulture department, and anyone could come in for free, test like a little bit of their soil, which I think like would also be good now with all the fires. I'm sure that there's a lot of work that's being done by that right now, but I feel like that could be a good potential like larger partnership is like with the one of the like LA RCD, maybe with one of the schools to do some like soil testing, and everyone can bring their samples. And part of it was like for your like what minerals and stuff you have in your soil, and then part of it was like for heavy metals and contamination and stuff. So that's just a thought.
I love that. And what sparked from what you shared was more citizen science, like being able to use, these are all opportunities for learning. And in order for us to even develop a sense of love and care, like engaging with all generations, youth especially, because they're growing up and will take on the career paths and having a lens of understanding how our natural systems work. So I love the idea of a lab that you mentioned and being able to partner with local organizations like NRCS?
Yeah, NRCS, I think they were another partner.
Okay.
Like RCD.
RCD, yes. Yes, and just being able to have hubs where folks can go and learn, maybe even bring their soil, so there's that active hands-on engagement to be able to understand, you know, our landscape. So I love that.
I love all of this because I think the thing that also we found is that when we have these discussions, right, a lot of people, or just other discussions, people think they need to be an expert, right? And a lot of this is not something that you need a crazy degree for or any kind of, like, it's so basic, right? The knowledge that we need to carry us forward into a safe, healthy ecosystem, we can all do. We can all become experts in, right? And so I think breaking down this idea of, you know, I mean, granted, we have taught people how to test their own soil in a lot of cases for certain things, not for everything, but it's part of a thing that we can all do to take on ourselves. And I think it's just this mental block that we have a lot of times of like, oh, I'm not an expert in that, so I can't talk about it. But like, you are an expert because you live here and you breathe air and you see the soil. And so I think as we move forward into the world, just remember that you have a lot of knowledge and a lot of information to share with each other. And so, yeah, I think that's just like a beautiful way for us all to move forward.
Programs currently in place here for the community to be part of, or do they have to be created for the hands-on part of it?
So we have multiple ways for people to be involved, although a lot of them are kind of in process of setting up. One thing that we're going to be kicking off very soon is called Between the Fires. Jessica, she's not a plant. She is here on this tour for the first time, but will be the project manager along with working with Lee Adams, who unfortunately lost her house during the Altadena fires. And Lee is a master gardener. She's worked with the studio for a very long time and just educator extraordinaire. And they will be kind of leading Between the Fires project, which will be looking at Lee's house and looking at remediation, looking at what the labor takes for that site, kind of thinking about it as a in situ community resource hub, kind of a smaller version of this, and will be based for everybody who's starting to do the repairs on their sites. With that, there'll be a lot of different educational hands-on opportunities for people to come and learn about remediation, about water retentive gardens, a lot of different things. We do volunteering here occasionally, but at the moment I don't have an exact schedule for you, but you can stay in contact with us. And Meandros, if you know of an org or want to participate in one of the upcoming kind of workshops that we do around those, please let us know. We are currently hosting, so you could start being an undeveloper, moving mountains participant today. Take some seeds, spread them around.
Actually deeply inspired by some of the ideas here. I love the soil rideshare. I think we have a lot of the resources to do some of this soil testing work here at the Moon and the toolkit. So I think we can totally start creating a citizen community science program or an internship program here at the Moon. So yeah, we're internalizing everything and we're gonna like work toward making these things happen. I also really want to empower each of you in taking everything you've learned with you. To me, soil as the very foundation of our ecosystems can be an act of revolution, can be a tool for revolution. Our soils throughout our city, even though they've experienced all this colonization, are still very much alive and want to be alive. And it's just a matter of letting that happen. So as agents for change, I really hope you feel inspired to take that work on. Please keep us on the loop. This tour is going to keep going forward till the end of August. So if you have other folks that you think could benefit from the lessons here, please invite them. And otherwise, let's just stay connected. It's going to take all of us to make this work happen, right? So thank you for coming.
read a poem that Lauren wrote about the space, and it's called Sanctuary. A 10-year practice in returning a tow yard to the logic of a floodplain. How do you turn a tow yard back into a floodplain? By listening to the land beneath the concrete. This site once held wreckage, and now it holds possibility. Before channelization, the LA River moved like a living braid, seasonal, sinuous, and full of change. Its floodplain was not a boundary, but a breathing system, home to wetlands, willows, and coiled relations. After catastrophic floods in the 1930s, the Army Corps of Engineers encased it in concrete. The river was redefined, not as kin, but as risk. The tow yard emerged in the aftermath, a paved-over memory armored against life. But memory is not easily erased. Water remembers, soil remembers. To build sanctuary, we begin by unbuilding, cutting asphalt, loosening soil, letting light in. We seeded, we waited. We welcomed volunteers, plant, animal, microbial. In time, the ground responded. Fungi threaded through roots. Birds stitched new paths in the air. The site became metabolically active, taking in waste, transforming it into shelter. Sanctuary is not a fixed state. It is a co-created condition. It requires disturbance and patience and attention across species lines. We did not restore what was. We practice reciprocity with what remains. What grows here now is not wild in the old sense, but it is alive in new ones. This is sanctuary, not a retreat from the world, but a deeper participation in its making.